to Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Welcome and good morning. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harlan.
And this is Ask the Law with retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law brought to you by our friends at Old Blue USA. And by the way, questions and answers are up to date as of February 2nd, 2009. Can change without notice. We want to say thank you to Movin' Out Magazine and 10-4 Magazine for putting in a plug for Ask the Law. Drivers, put in a plug yourself. Get on the horn and tell everybody that Ask the Law is now every first Monday right here on the Midnight Radio Network at 800-288-9227. Glad to do it for you. And let's get back to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Right to you we go. Let's talk to John in Louisiana, I believe. John, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good.
I just wanted to ask Trooper Dial if he could clarify something for me on the split sleeper berth usage, on whether the eight-hour portion of the break in the sleeper had to be before the two-hour break, or did it make any difference?
John, it does not make any difference if you do the two first followed by the eight, or you do the eight followed by the two.
Okay, because my company was interpreting the regulation where they had you had to take the eight first, and I didn't read it that way. But I'll do it anyway they want to do it, but I was just curious myself.
A lot of the companies are saying that you have to do the eight first followed by the two simply because in 395.1 that is how it's explained. But
I understand
that's not necessarily the way it needs to be done.
It's about how the drive hours add up on either side of either the two or the eight, right?
Correct. Correct.
Right, right. I appreciate that because I couldn't understand what difference it would make if you extended it on.
Yeah.
On the second portion, you would be starting with a two anyway.
Right, right.
So, you know, carrying on down the road.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good point. I do appreciate it. Thank you. A good question. And one we get quite a bit. 800-288-9227 if you have a question for Trooper Dial. That's one that I think over the years, and well, that one specifically since 2005 has come about because that's part of the 2005 rule. But the split sleeper berth in general, while it essentially hasn't gone away, the intent was essentially to kind of eliminate, shorten, at least one of those breaks. Back in the day when we were running the old hours of service rule, we had that question quite a bit on splitting that up. But essentially, it does not matter. And it could, I guess, could vary. I don't know for what reason they would do this, but it could vary based on the company's policy.
Yes.
So you might check with your company, you know, to find out if they have a different policy than what the regulations say. But the regulations don't care.
No.
Either way, which one you take first.
Correct.
All right. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Greg. Greg, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, and I wanted to say I always enjoy the show, especially this segment, because it's real informative and we learn a lot.
But thank you.
What I wanted to say was recently there was a section of highway where a number of highway patrolmen were pulling over trucks and just giving a walk around, not the full-blown DOT, but the only thing he found wrong on my truck was a crack near the bottom of my windshield, and he wrote me a warning for it, so it wasn't anything that I wanted to argue about or anything, but later on I double-checked because I thought that I was all right with that. I looked in the manual, and it said as long as the crack is below the level of the top of the steering wheel, that it would be all right. Did I interpret that correctly?
That is correct, Greg. As long as... Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the position of the steering wheel as you're driving. So if you have an adjustable one, and you pull it up, you know, to ease getting in and out of the seat, then that would not be in the normal position. But as long as the crack is below the top of the steering wheel, or it is 1 inch from the left or the right, and it's above the ASA line at the top, then it is not a violation.
Thank you. That's what I thought. I don't have a tilt wheel, so it stays in position there.
Okay.
And it was at the lowest point of the telescopic, so and it's still below the, that level. So
yeah,
I
no.
felt like that he was incorrect in that, but I didn't want to say anything since it was just a warning. It was
yeah.
not a
yeah.
big deal.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We do appreciate the call. A good question. I didn't know that that crack had to be below. I thought it, that, and of course this is, you know, because I've never looked this up, I thought it was just basically the length of the crack that mattered.
So. And in fact, you can have a single crack
mm-hmm.
that goes from top to bottom.
Right.
And it not be a violation.
Interesting.
It becomes a violation when you have two intersecting cracks,
hmm.
or if you have one of the what we call the starburst, and it is bigger than a quarter,
right?
Then yes, now that is a violation.
Hmm.
But if it's below the steering wheel,
mm-hmm.
Less than 1 inch from the right or the left, and above your ASA line,
hmm.
it's not a violation.
All right, 800-288-9227. If you want to get on board, drivers, go ahead and do it now. We may get these lines full here in just a few minutes, so get on board at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Lee. Lee, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi. How are you?
Doing just fine. I'd like to ask Trooper Dial about that 14-hour clock. To me, that's quite confusing. Every time I read it, by the way, I understand it less than I did the first time I read it.
And welcome to Ask the Law.
I've been around a lot of years. And the old rule, as I understood it, that you could take, say, a 2-hour break, take your nap, wake up, and log this as off duty, yeah. The 14-hour clock, as I understand it, you still have to log it on duty, not driving. Can I get some kind of correction on that?
Okay. Anytime under the current rules, if let's say that you want to stop and take a 2-hour nap, if you have a sleeper, you can go get in the sleeper for 2 hours and log it as sleeper berth time. What we're going to
as sleeper berth
yeah.
time?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You can log it as sleeper berth time. If you decide that you want to stop and take your 2-hour break and you go and want to go inside the truck stop, you can log it as off duty. But what we're going to do is we're going to take and look at the total period of time. Once you start the clock, and let's say that you drive for 5 hours, you want to stop and take a 2-hour break, and then you drive another 6 hours. At that point, now we're going to look to see, does he have an 8-hour break in the sleeper berth, or does he have a 10-hour break because of the 11 hours? Now, you know, you've got a total of 13 hours that you could have worked that day. Or at that one period. So you would only be at 13 hours total duty time during that period.
So he would have, at that point, not violated his 14-hour clock.
No.
However, it does not work towards, while it does keep that 14-hour clock running, it does not work towards your 70 at the end of the week, right?
Correct. Anytime you go to the sleeper berth or you go to off-duty, that period of time will count towards your 14, but it does not count against your 60 and 7 or 70 and 8 for that period of time.
That's where I was being confused at, because I thought that it did count against your 70 or your 60.
It does if you go log it down as on duty, not driving.
So log it essentially as it happened is what you need to do.
Yes. So if you decide that you want to take your 2-hour power nap and you go back and get in the sleeper berth, by all means log it in the sleeper berth.
That clears up a lot for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been one that could really do a real spiffy job of logging. I'd rather keep it closed.
Yeah, well, and you know, and it gets very confusing with all the changes that we've had over the last several years.
You couldn't believe. I started in 1954.
Yeah.
And to sit down and go through the changes that I've seen in all them years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't believe it.
You bet. You bet. Well, I hope that clears it up for you. And by the way, if you ever have another question, you can go to askthelaw.org, that website, askthelaw.org, and the folks at Oblo USA will find the answer for you and get back with you as soon as possible. So we do appreciate that. If you'll hold on, we're going to get you a pair of Justin boots. So stand by. We'll get you a pair of Justin original work boots. Cheryl will be with you right here during the break, and we'll be back with Trooper Monty Dial in just a moment. And weather along the highways at 33 past.
I'm sorry. On Ask the Law on the Midnight
Radio. Hi, Gary.
On Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol.
I thought it was
here.
A decent question.
All right, and see, that's one of our off-mic segments that we really should be. We should have a TV camera in here, really. We were just trying to get ourselves in trouble if we were drivers, which wouldn't be too difficult, frankly. Gary and I were asking questions about being off-duty, because the last caller had a question that comes up quite a bit, and here's a seasoned driver. Here's a driver that's been out there for 50 plus years on the road, and this guy knows what he's doing behind the wheel. There's no doubt that he can teach, I don't care who it is,
correct,
anything about driving.
Correct.
But there's still a lot of confusion when it comes to hours of service. But you and I got into the scenario about hours of service and how you split up these breaks, and the split sleeper berth may not be what it was before, but you can still get a good power nap in, as you mentioned. You get on the road, you start, you're fresh after 10 hours off duty.
Correct.
Okay, let's just say 10 hours off duty, you get on the road, drive for 5, you could actually break for 3.
Correct.
And then still drive for
another 6.
Another 6.
At that point, you've either got to stop and take an 8-hour break.
Right.
Or a 10-hour break.
Yeah. So you can still get, it doesn't have to necessarily be just a 2-hour break. You can break it up in 2 and 8, but you could also break it up in 3
sure.
and 8. You could take a 3-hour break.
Yes.
And still be within, as long as you don't drive after hour 14. You've
correct.
Got, you've got to, once you reach that 14, you're done driving no matter what.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. I just think there's some opportunity out there for drivers to take advantage of that. Maybe, you know, with lighter freight out there, maybe these days it might not be so hard to take advantage of that. And also, the restart, the 34-hour restart, I guess a lot of drivers are under the assumption that they have to wait until they get close to the end of their 70 or at their 70-hour mark in order to start that 34, but you can start it any time. You can take as many as you want.
Correct. If and the scenario in studio that we were discussing is a driver delivers the load. He's either got the company or he's working with a broker trying to get another load to get out to another location. And for some reason, something falls through. And it takes him, say, 34, 35, 36, maybe 2 days to find that next load. That driver can sit there and claim that as a 34-hour reset.
Yeah, yeah. So just don't do anything that relates to the on-duty, which would be fueling or
right.
repairing the truck or pre-trip or anything like that. Just make sure that you're off-duty for that entire 34.
Correct. And the driver can go from sleeper berth to off-duty, back to sleeper berth, back to off-duty, back
yeah.
to sleeper berth as many times as he wants to.
Yeah.
He cannot go beyond or below line 2.
Right. There you go.
Or if he does, and he has broken the 34 reset.
All right. Let's get back to the phones at 800-288-9227. It looks like Mike in Detroit has an interesting question.
Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for you. Are U.S. highways rated for 134,000 pounds gross weight?
No. What happens, Mike, is there is a federal weight law. And in fact, if you will go to the FMCSA regulations
And the very first section, whenever you click on all regulations, is 658. And that is the federal size and weight law. U.S. highways and interstate highways have been designated as federal highways.
Okay.
A lot of the states have gone in and have upped the weight that they will allow drivers to operate on any highway other than an interstate, simply because the federal government has paid the state to build the interstate highway system. They do get some monies for road maintenance on the U.S. highways.
Mike, thank you so much. And we're going to expand on that because I have another question about that. And Mike was kind of alluding to something else he was telling our call screener about maybe some exemptions there. And we'll talk about those exemptions here in just a moment. And weather coming up at 33 past.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
If you want to get on board, do so now at 800-288-9227. This is Ask the Law for February 2nd, 2009. Questions and answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. And we have retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And you can go to askthelaw.org. We had a guy on hold. He could not hold through the break. But a common question that we get, can you carry a pistol in your truck? And the answer is
yes.
Yes, you can.
Provided that there's two things that you have to follow.
Okay.
One is if you are a member of a state that has a concealed handgun permit and you operate a vehicle in a state that has reciprocity with your home state, then you are going to be treated equally. If you go into a state that does not have reciprocity with your home state, or you are not a concealed handgun permit license holder, then you have to unload the weapon and store it and the ammunition usually in the side box or underneath the sleeper bunk.
Okay. Can you, and does the ammunition have to be separate from the pistol?
As long as it's not in the same container.
Okay.
You know, you can have a box and say you've got a little small case that you carry the pistol in, as long as your ammunition's not in with the pistol.
Okay.
It can be in the same box.
Okay. All right. There you go. 800-288-9227. Essentially getting back to recap, I think it's important. There is nothing in the FMCSA handbook, no federal regulation against carrying a pistol inside your truck.
There is nothing in the federal motor carrier safety regulations that addresses or prohibits carrying a firearm in a commercial vehicle.
And this is one we've gotten, just about every time we've been on.
So the final absolute conclusion of this is that if you drive a truck, it's the same as if you're driving a four-wheeler.
Correct.
Right.
All right.
You as a private citizen, there are no trucking laws.
Yes. No.
Good.
Right. Okay. There you go. Just know your state laws.
Yes.
And this will be debated through emails to us for the next month until you return again.
Yeah. Well, there would be a guy that says he's got, you know, I mean, it's like the Amaro coin. He's seen a guy. He knew a guy that had one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 800-288-92. Knew a guy that got a ticket for it. 800-288-9227.
For the Amaro?
800-288-9227. Try to put it in the Coke machine. Right?
Let's go to Donnie in North Carolina. Donnie, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Oh, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. Morning.
Yeah, the question that I have, when I stop a truck in the afternoon, I pre-trip it for 15 minutes. When I get back in it again after my 10-hour break, do I have to pre-trip it again to show it on the law?
That's a very good question, Donnie. And in fact, RJ called me on the telephone, I guess it was yesterday, and right. Was wanting to know, we had a question that was submitted to Ask the Law, and he was wanting to know if this would be a good question to put in the column. And I told him, I said, no, not really, simply because the regulations does not require the driver to do a pre-trip. The regulations merely state that the driver has to satisfy himself that the vehicle is in safe operating condition. RJ stepped in, was said, and he said, well, what happened if something happened at the truck stop while he was parked?
Right.
I said,
right.
That's fine and dandy, but the regulation does not require mm-hmm. the driver to do a pre-trip.
Right. In other words, it's good practice,
it's
certainly.
And it's like I told RJ, you do it every time you stop.
Mm-hmm.
That is your procedure. Yes, you would right. hope everybody else would do the same thing, but there are a lot of people that do not. So a driver has not violated any regulation mm. as long as the driver is satisfied the vehicle is in safe operating condition. If I drove the truck, I parked it, I slept in it, I get up the next day, I'm satisfied the vehicle is in safe operating condition.
Mm.
Now, it's incumbent upon me to make sure that somebody has come through and decided not to take a tire or decided somebody wanted to take a light. If I get caught out on the road, it's my dime.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because, but at the same time, I have satisfied myself that the vehicle is in safe operating condition. I've met the regulations.
Okay, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And that's another one that we get quite a bit. Remember, and I just want to let drivers know, there are no silly questions on this program.
No.
We had a driver earlier that's been out there for over 50 years. We've been doing this for years, and we started it before the hours of service rule ever changed.
Yes.
We started this under the original hours of service rule.
Yes.
You might say we're old school. And so, there were questions. That law was in effect for forever. That rule was in effect forever.
Yes.
And there were plenty of questions. So there are no silly questions. Just get on board at 800-288. There are silly answers. 800-288-9227. We give those from time to time, but not Trooper Dial. It's usually Gary and I that are just
speak
cracking
for yourself.
800-288-9227. Back to you.
Let's go to Dwight on I-35. Dwight, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Good evening.
Hey.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Say, my question is regarding the feasibility of carrying a long gun. I've heard that there are no permits required and there's no restrictions against that. Is that correct?
That is very true, Dwight. What you're going to do is you're going to fall under what we call the ATF rules, which means that you can transport a long gun provided that it is either disassembled or it is unloaded and properly stored.
All right.
So properly stored would be, growing up in Del Rio, Texas, properly stored meant, secured in the gun rack, right behind the head.
Yeah.
What is properly stored?
Put it in a case.
Okay.
I guess one follow-up question is regarding the use of tasers. I know some localities restrict them.
Hmm.
How about for having it in your truck? How
right.
would that work?
Right.
Dwight, first off, and in fact, Taser International has come out with a new device. It is a taser, but they call it a personal protection device. The taser everybody sees is the one that law enforcement use. It's designed to look like a gun, has the features of a gun. This new taser that Taser International came out with does not even resemble a gun. Looks like an overgrown shaver.
Hmm.
And there is nothing in the regulations that prohibits even under ATF rules, there's nothing that prohibits someone from carrying that to use for self-defense.
Well, that's interesting. I was just looking at one at a truck stop this afternoon, and it said to, in order to get, if you purchase it, you've got to do some type of fill out some form for a background check.
No, what they're requiring, Dwight, is you have to contact Taser International and fill out a questionnaire that they want. And really all it is doing is it's a CYA for Taser International.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, I know they always ask when I go into Canada. Now,
you start crossing international borders.
Right.
We're talking about two different subjects here,
because
a lot of what they will not allow an individual to transport a firearm across an international border unless you have gone through a prior screening. But as long as you operate within the lower 48, it's not a problem.
You can't even take a relative that's had a DWI or a misdemeanor across the border.
Yep. Wow.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I heard large rubber bands are outlawed there in parts of Canada. You can't even use those. Yeah, but it's kind of freaky about those personal protection devices because, you know, a lot of drivers, and they go through these scary situations there. And I was just wondering, you know, a lot of them, and they mention having a long gun or carrying a weapon or something to protect themselves. And I'm thinking a taser in some cases would be appropriate, you know, in the case of a over aggressive lat lizard or something like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you want to.
Well, she kept knocking at my door. I just had to send her to the ground.
I've seen the infomercial from Taser International. They run it late night. And,
yeah.
It's very, very intriguing.
Well,
the technology that they're
using. If it's non-lethal, and there might be a situation where you might think, you know, gosh, if I could just, you know, get this guy out of my range and get away, that might be the better situation.
Yes.
You know, not all folks are designed or want to handle a firearm. All right, back with Trooper Monty Dial here in just a few minutes on Ask the Law. Stand by.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
And retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here. And let's get your, let's see if we can get one more question in at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Terry in Ohio. Terry, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Terry.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Okay, the question I've got, I heard you talking about the 2-hour and 8-hour breaks, breaking up your day. But when you use that, is your off-duty time. When you come up then and work your next shift, do you have to continue the 2 and 8, or you can go back to your 10 hours off the next shift?
No, what you have to do, Terry, is you can continue the 8 and 2 until you get to a point that you decide to stop and take the 10. At that point, you now get a new 11 and a new 14.
In other words, if he decided instead of taking an 8, he just wanted to stay out for a full 10. That starts his 11 and 14 all over again.
Correct. But as long as he continues to take the 2 and the 8 or the 8 and the 2, you never get a new 11 or 14 until you stop for a full 10.
Okay, I see. So that messes you up. If you just wanted to do it one day, you can't do it. You don't have your full shift to work the next day.
Correct. If you do an 8 and a 2.
Right. All right. Hey, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. And drivers, thank you for all the calls. Remember, every first Monday here on the program, we're going to be here.
Because we're leaving with the full board here. And just remember, we start every first Monday of the month at midnight. So.
Yes. And don't forget, as we come upon next month, Trooper, we will be talking about Mid-America coming up and everything else. So it'll kind of be our, you know, our kickoff to our truck show season.
Yes.
And hopefully a little bit busier for the driving community. Go to askthelaw.org for more. And remember, all the questions and answers are up to date as of February 2nd, 2009. Trooper Dial, we will see you in 1 month.
Yes, I'll be back.
All right.
Thanks.
It's the Midnight Radio Network at 800-288-9227.